The following is a lightly edited version of the Bobby Blackwell Show from 2010. Starting in 2011, these shows will be put into a separate uncut RSS feed on the BobbyBlackWolf.com website and will be posted the night of the live show. These unedited shows feature long, awkward pauses and may contain technical difficulties or explicit language. This feed will be for the edited versions of the shows that sound good for a podcast. Good luck. Tonight we give our impressions of Risk Factions on Xbox Live Arcade and on live. Yes, that on live. Plus, we can't be mad at Activision tonight. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show week of June 27th, 2010. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this net.
It's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari Catalarm kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
BC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
I just can't. I can't be mad at Activision tonight. It's one night, I guess. I can be okay with them. Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you are joining us live here on All Games Radio, welcome. Head on over to chat.allgames.com. We'll be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line for you to call in. Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word. Feel free to call in and talk about anything going on in the gaming industry, or you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com. Last week we did kind of an E3 wrap-up, and while I'm not, you know, kind of not really expanding on that, I did omit some things from my E3 wrap-up last week, and everybody's like, how could you forget that? And I'm like, I don't know how I forgot that. So I did want to kind of add, because a couple people were talking about it, in addition to some of the games that I talked about last week, on the show, and this is not a rhythm game, believe it or not. It's Portal 2. The video that I saw, basically, they didn't have any playable demo. They didn't even play the game in front of us. They had a Blu-ray disc that had video that had gameplay. Like, they had recorded it back up at Valve and then showed it in their booth. It's available online, and you should go check it out because it is hilariously awesome, and it seems like a very worthy sequel. So I was very, very pleased with Portal 2. I just had a big smile on my face the entire time through the demo because they had done so many things right with Portal 2, and they did a lot of things right with Portal 1, which is why I got my Game of the Year that year. Also, I did want to say that I asked them a question, which was not on camera or anything. It was as we were leaving, and I asked them, for those that really did like the music, they are, in fact, working with Jonathan Coulton for songs in Portal 2. And they are letting him work with anybody he chooses, so may I vote for Paul and Storm to help him with it. I think the three of them should do something together for Portal 2. So yes, Jonathan Coulton, he wrote Still Alive, and he writes a lot of other great geek-like songs that are all Creative Commons and stuff, and hopefully I will enjoy these just as much. So, moving on. I'm going to review a game and a service tonight, or at least give my impressions of a game and a service. I'm going to start off with the service. Now, this was a service that I have been very critical of because I did not think it would work, especially in real-world situations. And the service is called OnLive, which has very negative connotations because it came out and said, we're going to do this, 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 and this, and it's going to be awesome. And we're like, yeah, right. Y'all are funny. They did it, guys. I'm going to be the first to admit that I was kind of wrong in saying that they couldn't do it. No, they actually pulled it off. So the service launched at 6 p.m. Pacific, or thereabouts, on the last day of E3. They closed down E3, made a patch to the servers, and opened it for everybody. I don't know how much it costs because their sign-up process is very convoluted, and I couldn't figure that out. But there is a way you can sign up to become a founding member presented by AT&T, and I had done that, and they're like, okay, we're going to put you on the waiting list, and then 2 days later, I got an email saying, hey, you're going to be a founding member. You've been selected. So it's 12 months free, plus an optional $4.95 a month for the next year after that, and that's optional. You do have to put in a credit card. Now, unfortunately, what this means for the service is that the games themselves aren't free. You still have to pay for the games, and I'll get into that in a second. But basically, if you've been living under a rock and don't know what OnLive is, OnLive basically removes the need for you to upgrade your computer. That's what they claim. The claim that they made was that it's basically going to be using cloud computing, where their computers are actually going to be rendering the graphics and handling all the processing, and then you're basically just going to get a video feed, and then you're going to send your controller inputs back to them. And, you know, obviously, me being an internet person and, you know, in IT and system administrator and all this stuff, I know about lag on the internet. And I know that it's kind of hard to fathom doing something like that, especially on, you know, home internet and stuff like that. So basically what it is it's a service where you can either rent time on a game. You could get a 3-day pass or a 5-day pass, or you could get a full pass of the game, or a full version of the game where you can play it as much as you want. And these usually cost just about as much as if you had bought the game yourself. They have several, I think 12 games on the system right now. But, you know, some heavy hitters, they've got Assassin's Creed 2 up there, Just Cause 2, Unreal Tournament, where you can actually play online against other people, Borderlands is up there. I'm trying to, like, remember what's up there. And they've got a demo, you can't buy it yet, of Lego Harry Potter, which there's a demo of it on Xbox Live Arcade, which is different from the one that's on here. But basically, it just sends the video, it sends 720p video back, so 1280 by 720, back to your computer, and you send it stuff back. Now, you need at least a 5 megabits per second, or 5 MB, I don't know if it's megabits or megabytes, but 5 of those down. Most cable providers will at least give that, if not more. You need at least that, and it requires a wired connection. Every time you launch the OnLive client, it actually checks to see if you meet these criteria, and if you don't, you don't get to go in. And then it puts you in a menu that actually has all these other clips of games and stuff, and you can actually go through and, like, spectate on any game that's public in the service, and you can actually watch them play. And you can even thumbs up, thumbs down, send them friend requests, stuff like that. And you can also create what's called brag clips for what you've done to kind of say, hey, you know, look at this, check this out, this is awesome. And then people can vote on those and give it a rating and stuff like that. But basically, I haven't bought a game on the system yet because, you know, like Just Cause 2, for like a 3-day pass, it's $3.99. For a 5-day pass, it's $5.99. Or you could buy the full game for $49.99. Now, since this is cloud computing, you don't get to keep the game, so you paid $49.99 for a game that you're not going to be able to play next year if you don't continue on live. So that's kind of the downside of it, is that you know, you're still paying for the content. You get some time free, though. But I played with Lego Harry Potter because there's a 30-minute demo, and it's actually the game itself. You have 30 minutes. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll play this, and, you know, plugged in my Xbox 360 controller into my PC, and I said, okay, I'm going to see how much this lags and how unplayable this is, because I know about the internet and I know about lag and all that stuff. If I didn't know I was not playing on my local computer, I would not have guessed. It probably ran better over on live than it would on my actual PC with other processes running and all that stuff. I did not detect any kind of lag between my controller input and what the character was doing. I could not. It felt like I was playing a game on my local machine. It was no different. I could tell that, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on because I can see my router and my modem from here, and the light was just blinking madly the entire time. But I couldn't tell. Like, they actually pulled it off. I'm not, you know, that deep in the whole networking side of things and packets and stuff. They pulled off exactly what they said they were going to do. Now, is this going to be a system that people are going to actually use? That is left up in the air. But technologically, they actually pulled off exactly what they said they were going to do. And, you know, T27 Duck in our chat room is talking about, like, the ISP capping. I actually asked the guy about it. I spoke to somebody. Was supposed to speak with them for E3Coverage.com, but they went off to go interview the guy who created Kid Icarus and felt he was more important than OnLive. So they left me behind with the OnLive guy. And I spoke to him and asked him, you know, because I asked him if they were worried about all these cable companies capping bandwidth, because, you know, Comcast here in the U.S., they've stated that 250 gigs a month is, you know, that's when you're going to kind of get, you know, kind of shut down and capped and stuff like that. And he said they weren't worried about that because they actually have deals with all of these major backbones and ISP providers. So they work with AT&T and Comcast and Time Warner and Verizon and all these U.S.-based carriers, and actually they have servers on the backbone. So you're not actually leaving your local network to get to the server. And then I asked him, you know, so is OnLive not going to count towards the your 250 gigs? And he's like, oh, well, blah, 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 there. That's something you're going to have to ask Comcast. We can't answer that for you. So essentially, it was kind of interesting like that. And then I asked him a question about, you know, if they're happy with net neutrality or something, and he gave a very non-answer on that. So I think OnLive, it's actually kind of interesting. I think they're against net neutrality because they would rather pay money to get a better connection for their service. They don't want it to be equal. They want to be able to get a better connection. So I thought that was kind of interesting. They said they're not going to make any political statements. They're not going to get on any side of the political side. But he did not outright say that they were for net neutrality, which I thought was kind of interesting. D5T in chat asked, did I notice any video compression? No, actually I didn't. And I mean, granted, I was playing Lego Harry Potter is what I was playing. But it's pretty clean. Like, that's, you know, clean animated style graphics. It's a Lego game. It's, if you've played like Lego Star Wars or Lego Indiana Jones or anything, it's like that. And, but I didn't notice. Like, if I did not know that I was playing on live, I would have thought I was playing on my local computer. Simple as that. Now, I didn't play a graphically intensive game. I didn't play Assassin's Creed 2 or Just Cause 2 or anything like that. But I couldn't tell. There were a couple times that the video and audio kind of skipped a little bit, but I wonder if that's more the game itself, the nature of PC games, than anything else. T27Duck says the real test will be when or if a lot of people get on the system, will the network and the backbone hold up? And that's true. I mean, I was playing at 2 in the morning on like Saturday morning or something like that. So I was not playing at a very intensive time, but there were a lot of people on the system because you can actually jump in and watch live gameplay of anybody else playing. And I actually watched somebody play Borderlands. I watched somebody play Just Cause 2, watched somebody play Assassin's Creed 2. They all sucked. But I got to watch them play. And it didn't look very laggy there either. T27Duck says, I've noticed all these games are offered are PC games. That's because it's a PC game service. That's exactly what it is. It's to play computer games. It's to play PC games. There are a couple of indie games that are up there. World of Goo is available on there. Mevo and the Groove Breakers, I think, or something like that. Mevo and the something. I don't know. That's up there. And there's actually a demo of a game that's just called Ah, with like a whole bunch of A's on there. I thought that was kind of weird. Bigambit says, my question is always, what happens when OnLive goes bankrupt, out of business, or bought out? Well, since this is a subscription system and everything you have is based on your subscription, then that's it. You basically go in knowing that if either you or they cancel your subscription, you no longer get the content you paid for. That's the way this is. This is not like Steam. If they get bought out, basically if Steam gets bought out, they have a way of basically removing the DRM on all their software. And they'll do that if they go out of business. They've already got that contingency plan. On live, there's no contingency plan needed because it's a subscription service, and if either side breaks the contract and it's in the terms of service, then that's it. You know, thanks for your money. So that's probably, well, that's why I wouldn't actually buy a full game. Like, I would not pay $50 for Just Cause 2 on live. I would rather get, like, you know, buy the 360 version, which is probably cheaper than $50 by now. Silly907 says, whether or not OnLive is the company that's successful with this, this is the future of gaming. There's going to be a point where the console manufacturers cease to do just that and instead just offer themselves as a portal for cloud gaming services. T27 Duck says, does online offer a way for Mr. Random User off the street to download a demo client of OnLive and demo a game to test if their internet connection can handle it? I don't think so. Basically, it runs a test. It's got its installer runs a test, but I don't know if you can get that installer unless you've actually become a customer. So I don't think they offer that. Silly907 says it's going to be a long time before it's the standard. Don't get me wrong. Most people don't have high-speed internet. Yeah, everybody said that in 2002 when Xbox Live started. Oh, most people don't have high-speed internet. All this online gaming, it's not going to become the standard anytime soon. Yeah, it became the standard. Bujigawa says, however, for the rental concept, it's not terrible. No, it's actually kind of nice. It's one of the few ways I can rent a PC game. I would probably pay $4 for a three-day weekend pass to play Just Cause 2 or something like that. That's cheaper than Gamefly. That's cheaper than going to Blockbuster to rent it for the 360. And I get it on my PC, and you know, I don't have to install anything. It just runs. It just starts up the game. No installation, no configuration settings, anything like that. But each game is created to work with OnLive. You know, on the main menu of LEGO Harry Potter, there's actually OnLive options in there and return to OnLive and things like that. So each game has to work specifically for OnLive and have code in it for OnLive. So I don't know maybe if there's some stuff going on the client machine, if it's not... I highly doubt that it's just they're sending video and then sending your controller input back to them. There's got to be some type of processing that's going on your PC, but it's probably not all that intensive, considering they say that you know the speed of your PC should not really matter all that much. Begumbit says, I saw it running on an iPad at E3. Did I see that? I was ushered into the back room with all the swanky couches and the drinks and the food and stuff. I didn't get to spend that much time playing on the floor. On the floor, the show floor of E3, I did play Batman Arkham Asylum, and they claimed that the server was on the other side, up in Northern California. We were in Southern California. I was very skeptical. So the service works. It's probably not a pricing model that you would use. You know, maybe if there were more, you know, stuff kind of like what PlayStation Plus is rumored to have where, you know, there's, you know, games, free games that you get as being a part of a system if you're a customer at that particular month. But it does work. It does what they say it does. It worked on my connection here at home, and my computer is... definitely not the only thing that's connected to the internet at a time. I do have a server here. I've got, you know, my TiVo is always online and things like that. So, I mean, it did not have full access to my connection. I didn't have to open any ports or anything like that. It worked. I was very surprised. So kudos to OnLive. So the game that I want to review or give my impressions because, you know, really all I want to do is stop this show right now and go play it. Risk Factions. This is me being a board game geek. And what's kind of surprising is that I never really played Risk all that much. I've played other board games a lot with my friends. And when we say board games, we don't mean, you know, Monopoly and Life and Sorry and things like that. No, my friends are like in the, you know, German board games by people you can't pronounce that sell, you know, a couple thousand board games in the all of America and stuff like that. We play those. And Risk doesn't exactly fall into that because it's a Hasbro game. But, I mean, there's been a couple of games like, you know, Carcassonne and Catan and Ticket to Ride, which was my favorite, all on Xbox Live Arcade. And now EA has brought Risk Factions to Xbox Live Arcade, which is kind of it's got the original Risk in it, which is basically world domination. It's got the original Risk in it, but it's added a new mode called Factions, which kind of speeds up the gameplay for console play and makes it so you're not spending hours and hours in one game. So essentially, Risk is basically you have a map of, you know, usually the classic one is the world, Earth, and you're basically you are getting units and you're taking over adjacent countries and trying to take over the world. There it is. There's Risk. Risk Factions adds in five factions, which really make no difference to the gameplay, and adds a whole bunch of different maps that are not based in the real world that have other types of things on them that allow you to affect the game and affect the world. Not very balanced, but they're there nonetheless. But the main thing it adds is the objective system, is that you know, when you start the game, it'll say, okay, here's objectives, and if you complete this objective, you get this perk. So, like, you know, if you control, they add in capitals. So everybody has a capital that you place at the beginning of the game, and you can't win unless you control your own capital. So, you know, if you control other people's capital cities, that would be an objective. If you take over seven other territories in one turn, that could be an objective, and you get a reward. And at the end of your turn, you have to choose which one of these rewards you want. The first person to collect three objectives wins the game. So it's not total domination. You're not playing until you just kill everybody. You're playing for these objectives. And it's basically, I want to reiterate, you can only get one per turn. There was one turn where I got five objectives. I had to choose just one. You know, you can't win the game if you get five objectives in one turn. You have to wait. You have to get them on subsequent turns. So you have to basically get an objective on three turns to win. But it makes the game shorter. And it also changes the strategy a little bit, because instead of taking over everybody, maybe you just want to take over this continent. So you can build up to do that, even if, you know, there's really no strategic reason in the traditional Risk sense to take over a continent. Now you have a continent objective, and you could, and you know, actually today somebody won the game because he took over Europe, even though really none of us really cared about Europe, except there was an objective that said control Europe, and he did that, and that was his third objective, and he won. And that's why I hate Binary 667, if anybody wonders. So they've got that. Now there are factions in the game, and there's a little campaign mode for each faction, and it doesn't take long. It's five games, and that's it. It's a very short campaign mode. I finished it in a little bit over an hour. And it's very cartoon character stuff. There's humans, obviously, and then there's cats, and then there's robots, and then there's zombies, and then there's yetis. Go figure. All this really changes is the color of your stuff. Now, when you actually play, essentially the way that Risk, the board game, works is that you have soldiers, and the defending city has soldiers. And you attack with dice. The defending city rolls as many dice as they have, up to three. So if they have two defenders in a city, two soldiers in that city, they roll two die. If you're attacking with, you can attack up to three soldiers. If you have, you know, three soldiers, you roll three die, and then it takes the top ones, the top rolls, and basically depends on, you know, who beats who, and that determines how many of your units die or their units die. And numbers are not always better. Like, I've attacked people with 12 units, and they've been defending with three, and they kill all my units, and they only lose one. So that's very demoralizing. And that usually happens on the first turn of the game, too. That's what sucks. But during this part, if you actually go through that part, they actually do have animations at the bottom of the cats attacking the zombies and clawing at them and you know, puking in their face and stuff like that, and the zombies, you know, are trying to eat brains and things like that. So those are cute, but they get old quickly. You're gonna learn that, you know, you can hit the X button and do a fast battle, and it just basically does all the number crunching for you. Unfortunately, what that does is it uses up all your troops. So if you have 12 troops and they only have three, you can't stop it if you realize that they're kicking your ass. You can't stop. So sometimes you may need to go sit through those animations and stuff, which really prolongs the game. So, now there's also other maps in Risk, in Risk Factions that have other, things that are objectives. Like, one of them early on is, you know, you control three barracks. There's a missile in the center of the map that can attack, and it adds one attack die to your attack if you attack a zone that's adjacent to that missile. A little bit later on, there's a dam and you can actually flood an entire continent, which basically means that any troops that are over one, so like if there's three troops in one territory and four in another, those all get down to one if you control both sides of the dam and you have to hold it. But the one that I really hate is that there's a, it's called a temple, and it's introduced with the zombies, where the temple, if you control all three sides of the temple and hold it until your next turn, you can automatically just take over any other territory. And you get all of their troops as well. So if somebody's like got their capital city and they defend it with eight troops and you have the temple and you get it, you can actually just make those eight troops yours and you get their capital, which means they can't win the game. So that's kind of lame. There is a counter to that. There's crypts, and basically there's cities and mines and crypts and stuff that are in certain territories. And if you control three crypts, you can actually, during your turn, freeze a territory so it can't be attacked or changed by the temple and stuff like that. But only one person can do that, so everybody else is screwed. But basically the way I like playing it is I like playing the factions, with the objective gameplay, but on the classic Risk map, because it has none of the temples or missiles. It does have cities, which add to how many troops you get at the beginning of your turn. It's board game goodness. It's five players, either local, since there's really not much you're hiding from other people. You can actually play it local and not worry about, you know, the other people playing seeing your cards or anything, because there's really no cards to have. Or you could play on Xbox Live. Five players total, so you and four other people can play on Xbox Live, and it's great. I really enjoy it. Sully907 says, are you saying if you skip one dice roll, it automatically makes you fight until your army is defeated? If you do the fast attack, which is the way it says, it basically just keeps going until either you can conquer them or they conquer you. You can't stop it. So if you don't do the fast attack, then you can determine how many units you want to attack at the time, one, two, or three, and then go from there. The Outcast says Risk is good, but Axis and Allies is better. But Axis and Allies takes like 5 days, and then, you know, when the jerk comes in and says Earthquake and shakes the table and you all beat his ass, it's not that fun. I don't like it. T27 says it sounds like a complex game. See, it is. It's very simple rules, but it's got a lot of complex, complex techniques, which I learned. So there you go, Risk Factions. It is 800 space bucks on Xbox Live Arcade. I highly recommend it. It came out this week. And there you go. So, the news. It's time to talk a little bit about the news. This was a press release that came into my inbox in the past 24 hours, so I'm very glad it came to me. And I actually got a heads up from somebody who's in chat right now saying, by the way, you may want to look at the site. We've actually talked about this game several times. Even very recently, because I'm a fan of, I grew up, like, my fanboyism was in the PC adventure game days. You know, we didn't really have Nintendo and Sega when I was your age. I played a lot of games on my PC with my wonderful, trusty AdLib sound card, wishing I had a Roland MT-32, and I mostly played Sierra adventure games from Sierra Online. Mostly, you know, like Space Quest and Police Quest and Leisure Suit Larry. Those were the games I was really into. But I always had great respect and fond memories of the King's Quest series, which was the medieval series set in Daventry, starring King Graham and his family. It was actually the first PC game, somewhat. I think IBM actually, like, distributed it with the original PCs. PC Juniors was the first King's Quest. So we've been talking about this. There's been a fan-made continuation of the series, because King's Quest pretty much died with King's Quest VII, even though they made a King's Quest VIII. It pretty much died when Vivendi bought Sierra Online and decided that there was no such thing as adventure games anymore. Computers got so fast and so powerful that, you know, action games now ruled the norm, whereas back in the day when all the Quest games and all them and the LucasArts games, like Monkey Island and them, they were all very popular because they didn't require fast processors. They were more telling a story rather than testing your reflexes and all that stuff, which is why I liked them. It's because it was more, you know, story and thinking rather than action. But, you know, computer PCs at the time really couldn't handle fast action. You didn't see that many fast action games until, you know, Wolfenstein and Doom and stuff like that, which was a couple of years after all these. So King's Quest died, and a bunch of fans, they decided they were going to continue the legacy, and they were created a game. They were going to make it, and I think they started in, like, 2002 or something like that. They started making King's Quest IX, Every Cloud is a Silver Lining, and then Vivendi came in and said, we kind of own that. So they're like, okay, great. So in 2005 or 2006, something like that, they negotiated with Vivendi a fan license so they could create the game. They just could not sell it or call it King's Quest. So they renamed it the Silver Lining and said, okay, we're going to continue. And all was good. And then Vivendi bought Activision. Yes, that's the order it went. Vivendi bought Activision. Installed all of Activision's board of directors and stuff as the head of the company and renamed themselves Activision Blizzard. And then said, oh, what's this fan license? Yeah, screw that. Denied. So basically, since they were unable to get the game completed because it's a fan project, all volunteers, stuff like that, they lost the ability to even create it, and they had to wipe their website and remove all their forums and stuff like that. Very sad time for a lot of people that have been working on this game for 8 years. Guess what, guys? Apparently, enough people called and complained to Activision, and there was enough work by, people like Stephen Totillo, who's now at Kotaku. He's kind of been following the story ever since even when he was at MTV Multiplayer. And it's coming out. They've worked out a deal, and I got sent a press release from them. Phoenix Online Studios, that's the name of the fan group that is making it. They're happy to announce that on July 10th, which is like, what, 2 weeks away? Less than 2 weeks away. The debut of The Silver Lining is coming. It's an episodic format. Episode 1, What is Decreed Must Be, is the first of a series of episodes that will be released throughout 2010. The highly anticipated fan-made project will allow gamers to revisit familiar characters and lands inspired by Roberta Williams' beloved King's Quest universe, which captured the hearts and imaginations of millions of fans during the 80s and 90s. In The Silver Lining, players will assume the role of King Graham as he sets out on a quest to save his children, Rosella and Alexander, from a mysterious curse. It sounds familiar. In King's Quest 4, Rosella had to go save her father. Anyway, the episodes will be released as free downloads at tsl-game.com. So Phoenix Online Studios and Activision have worked together over the last few months to build a relationship that will enable the Silver Lining to be freely distributed to its eager fans. So there you go. Activision finally changed their tune. I guess they didn't think it was worth it initially to have their lawyers look into it, and I guess they got a change of heart. So I can't be mad at Activision today. I like Activision today. Ask me again next week and see how I feel. So there you go. It's going to be coming out very soon, 2 weeks. We've actually, myself and Orange Lounge Radio, who comes on after me, we've actually been following this, and actually OLR got an interview with some of the guys a couple years ago, back when Vivendi, they got their deal with Vivendi, and they hosted the demo and all that stuff. So this time I'm actually trying to get the interview, and I'm actually, the person who sent me the press release is actually the person, she used to work at Telltale, and now she's working with this group on PR, and so hopefully in a couple weeks, we might have an interview with them. But I don't want to jinx it, because I merely just asked. They haven't said no yet, or yes, but there you go. So, it's about time. That's what I say about it, is this is about time. Very happy to see that a fan-made project is not being always shut down, even though Activision did shut them down earlier. Hopefully, you know, I'd love to see, you know, other companies, maybe like Square Enix and stuff, kind of see that maybe this is not such a bad thing to have fans do your work for you. So there you go. TSL-game.com is the website. It's going to be up. There's a YouTube trailer up right now, and there's going to be, but it's coming out episodic. It's going to be free. They can't charge for it, so you can't pay for it. You're going to have to play it absolutely free for the PC. Congratulations to everybody over at Phoenix Online, everybody who's worked on the project. There's been a lot of people throughout the past 8 years or 9 years or something that have worked on it, and it's a happy ending. Excellent. So on that happy note, we're going to take a quick music break, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines for you guys to call in about anything going on in the gaming industry or anything I've talked about tonight. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
You're listening to The Bobby Blackwolf Show. The only show where you can find the Da Vinci Code. It's in his beard.
Wow. So much hatred in chat for the music break. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Bobby Blackwell Show here on All Games Radio. During that music break, which you don't hear on the podcast, was a bunch of King's Quest music, and Jim Sally is like, oh, my God, that was terrible. I guess he'd rather hear stuff like this. He'd rather hear this. I guess this is more Jim Sally's alley. Let's turn that off. Vuvuzelas over. Yeah. Vuvuzelas over Zelda. That was not what we played in the music break. But anyway, there we go. So I'm going to open up our Skype line for you to call in, and you know that way we won't talk about King's Quest anymore. If that's what you're upset about, Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, and you can feel free to call in, and that way you won't have to hear more of this. Yeah, you don't want to hear that anymore. So there you go, and you know, congrats to the USA team for making it this far, but you know, I'm a little bitter that we couldn't beat Ghana. We can also talk about stuff going on, you know, if you want to ask more questions about E3, even though, I've talked about it a lot on both shows, both this and the Friday Night Show, feel free to call in and talk about that, or you can just throw out a question in chat@allgames.com, and we'll keep the conversation going, because I don't really plan out anything for the second half. That's why I kind of load everything up in the first half and then wait for people to call in the second half. Apparently, according to Spyro in chat, he does want me to state that this is the 250th episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show, which should probably be a big thing to some people, but not really to me because I've skipped episodes. Like, really, 250 should have been, like, 2 months ago. But I'm more excited about July 25th, which is going to be the Sunday after July 24th. July 24th was actually the first episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show back in 2005. So that's going to be more, that's the 5-year anniversary. That's probably going to be a little bit more important to me than tonight. But hey, 250, that's a long time. We have a call on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
This is Pimp Method.
Pimp Method, what's up? What's on your mind?
I was wondering why the whole, whole video game community, especially for independent sites, do not cover to the actual competitive side of video games. I can name you two good events that actually happened. One of them was like Devastation. That's like this big video game tournament that actually happened, I think, 1 or 2 weeks ago. That was at Phoenix, and there was like several live streams of it, though. And also EVO, also known as the Evolution Gaming Tournament, that is coming up next month. And also about like MLG. So that's like my real question is why? Let's see.
Why they're not really covered? Is kind of what you're saying. It's a lot of it probably has to do that. All of us that do gaming have egos, and we don't like admitting someone's better than we are. But really, it's kind of like the reason, I mean, I can only speak for myself, really, is that it doesn't interest me all that much. Me personally, like the esports and the competitive gaming doesn't really interest me all that much, because I've found that, you know, everybody that I've had the pleasure of meeting in the esports scene, which is probably a very small number, admittedly, they're jerks. Usually, I mean, I've only really spoken with Smash Brothers players, and they're jerks, and they've just turned me off on all of it. But it's also, it's kind of like, I can't answer for anybody else, because I knew EVO was going on. It's a big fighting game tournament, and people that are into the fighting game stuff know about it, but it's just, it doesn't grab the attention of people out here in the U.S. I mean, I know CBS has tried actually showing, they did a special with one of the now defunct gaming leagues and tried to show that. G4 had a show, Arena, that tanked. So I think it's either out of, you know, egos, we don't want to admit somebody's better than us, or there's just a lack of interest.
Okay, I'm a bit shocked about that, because ever since Street Fighter 4 came out, like I said before, I keep on seeing, like, streams and streams from, like, regular people just streaming, like, their own tournaments. And I just...
That's not as much about Street Fighter 4 as it is about the equipment for people to be able to stream is a lot easier to get now. The reason it didn't happen 4 years ago was not because people didn't do these tournaments. It was because people really didn't know how to stream game video at the time. So you're seeing a lot of that now just because now it's more popular to have video streams like that, not necessarily because of Street Fighter 4, because people have been doing this for a long time. I mean, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 has been a tournament favorite, and there's YouTube videos for many years of these tournaments, but it's always a small niche community. It's a very small, hardcore set of gamers that really only play those type of games, so they don't care about the rest of the gaming world at large, and I guess that means that the rest of the gaming world at large doesn't really care about them. It's the whole isolationist thing.
Ouch. Okay, then that'll be all.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
He was about to say hogwash, I bet. I bet that's what he was about to do. So Bobby Blackwell's show on Skype is where you can call us in and ask us any questions. BaconBit says, what about MLG? MLG Major League Gaming is, I think they're kind of like the biggest one that's still around. Everybody else closed down, but MLG's still around. And they do big events all around the country. And they get some kind of play. But it's kind of like the reason you don't see them on Kotaku or Joystick or Destructo is because the audience that reads those blogs don't necessarily care about people playing games. They want to hear about the games being made and not necessarily about people who play them. Because a lot of people still have the incorrect stigma of all they're doing is playing video games. And, you know, it's a regimen. I hate to use the term athlete because it's not really, I mean, even though there's some physical stamina just to be able to concentrate for that long in those type of situations, but it's the same type of thing where, they train and they spend 8 or 9 hours a day training in these games and probably doing, wrist exercises or something like that. But, they train for it, and it's not just playing the game. They're working at it. And, so a lot of people just think that, oh, all they're doing is the same thing I do every night on my couch, except they're getting paid for it. I hate them. I don't want to hear about them. Let's see. Silly907 says recently there was a StarCraft II tournament for the beta with a $2,000 first prize. That game might have a shot at bringing esports to America. Well, considering, I mean, you got to realize StarCraft I is like the national sport of South Korea. So it's like I'm not exactly sure what more can do. If StarCraft I didn't really make a splash out here in America, I'm not too sure StarCraft II will. But it's also about, educating the public and stuff, because the public's not going to watch a game they don't understand, and they may not understand anything about StarCraft. We have another call here. Bobby Blackwell's show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is X-Link.
X-Link, what's up?
I totally agree with your viewpoint. A lot of these hardcore players you see on these tournaments are usually the people jump around from tournament to tournament, and they make it to their job more often than others. And then, so they get more, doing it more for the money than more for the fame. And a lot of these players play for 8, 9, 10 hours at a time. It's ridiculous the amount of hours they put into these games. Same thing with people who just play Halo or just play one type of game. It's just, but I look at the viewpoint from it as it takes away from the fun from away the game. When you play for so long and you do it like that and you're making it into a job, that's when the fun mostly takes away from the game itself. But
and besides, I hope I never have to watch a video game while hearing this. I really hope. I don't want to ever have to hear that during a video game. I don't know if you heard that, X-Link. That was your vuvuzelas.
Oh, jeez. Thanks.
So
I didn't hear it, so I'm very thankful for that.
Okay, good. So. I've got it set up right on this machine. So, yeah. Actually, what some other people were saying is, Game Guru says StarCraft II will become an Olympic event if the Korean have anything to say about it. They actually did a big somebody did a big StarCraft LAN tourney in Beijing during the Olympics, like right near the Olympic Village.
And well, can they say the same thing for WoW then? I mean, with the way that WoW's set up, they could probably do the same thing with that too. I mean, some of the, like a lot of these multiplayer games online. They could become, I guess you could say, Olympic tournaments. But the question is, should they? So,
well, ballroom dancing was an Olympic sport for a while.
We're not going to get to that. That's sad, seriously.
But, yeah, I mean, it's I'm not exactly sure what is going to be next. I know I'm not big on esports, and I don't usually talk to that many gamers who only play one game, even if it is something like WoW. I don't talk to them all that much. They're not the same kind of people that I am, so I'm not really, you know, going to sit there and watch somebody play Halo when I could just go play Halo. It's not like football where it's really hard to go out and play a game of football or something, you know, and stuff.
I think that's another reason behind all of it, too. I think another reason is because it's like, well, why should I watch this when I can flip on a Switch on the back of my Xbox itself and start playing it against somebody else?
I could play the exact same game they're playing, you know, and...
But,
whatever. Anything else on your mind?
No, actually, I'm looking forward to Silver Lining also. I was a big fan, just like you, Bobby, growing up, of those games, of those action-type games. And I absolutely loved them. And I loved the fact that Silver Lining's coming out in July, and the fact that it's going to be in, you know, into episodes would make it even better. I'm glad. So it gives me a little time. I'm probably going to try to go back. I got the King Quest series in my closet somewhere. I'm going to dig it out and probably go through them again so I can get ready for it when it comes out on the 10th. So.
Yeah. It's not that far away. They've been working on it for 8 years, and so we just got to wait 2 more weeks.
Yes, and it looks awesome. I looked at the trailer today, and it looked awesome.
Exactly.
So I'm very forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it. Adventure games need to make a comeback. It's not all just about action. That's why I love Sam & Max, and I love the other adventure games that have been out. Like, the Adventure Company has been releasing some, and this is – it's good. I'm happy with Activision tonight.
Yes.
Just tonight.
Maniac Mansion. Day of the Tentacle, yep. Bring it all back, please.
Yeah, except
that'd
they sucked.
Awesome.
LucasArts sucked.
What's up at time?
LucasArts sucked. It was all about Sierra. That was my fanboy war.
Well, of course.
All right, take care, man.
Don't want to start it all. No problem.
Let's see. Whoops. No, don't wait. What did I do? Ah, crap. Hang on. I don't know what I'm doing here. There we go. Whatever. I don't understand Skype today. So I think that's it. I'm trying to figure out... What did I do? There we go. So that's it for calls tonight. That's all that we're going to do. I feel bad that I'm like hitting numbers and stuff that I don't want to hit. I'm still getting used to this new Skype. So coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio, three people out in Sacramento, California, that talk about games as well. And it's been a special week for somebody. So when we get in with them, I want everybody in chat. Either in All Games Radio or in Orange Lounge Radio's chat to everybody spam happy birthday all at once. Happy birthday.
You're late.
I'm just late.
Kidding.
Ah!
Thank you,
Bob. I should have gone on the air yesterday.
No. Well, there's a couple birthdays that are going on. I mean, yeah, I had my own birthday yesterday, but Orange Lounge Radio had a birthday, and I think that's definitely a landmark occasion that happened this past week. June 23rd, 2002 was the first show, and that was not originally planned to be the first show. Little known fact, we actually had commercials and everything set for the week before, and I don't remember why we had to push it back, but we did. Like, it came up almost at the last minute, because we launched our... you know, our Live 365 feed, which is what we had before we were on All Games Radio. We had an Orange Lounge Radio was actually a station. That's kind of where the name comes from. We actually were running music for about a month. So Orange Lounge Radio as a station really started like late May-ish, which was really ironic because it was right about the same time as DDR Freak Radio, which in a way was a competitor. But at the same time, we, you know, had to play nice with each other because... You know, things are complicated, but it was...
We got music from each other.
It worked out. Yeah, it worked out for the best. It did.
And besides that, 23 is the number of coincidence.
That is true. Everything kind of ended up revolving around that number, 23. I was 23 when the first show happened.
I moved out here on January 23rd.
Crazy stuff.
I started my show on July 24th.
So almost happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Just a couple weeks ago, less than a month ago.
Yep.
So I realize you've made nice with Activision this week, Bobby. With
just
the whole
this week.
Thing. Just this week. I understand. And that's fine. And I do think it's – I guess we should kind of smile and you know, say, oh, it's nice that you finally got your head out of your butt, Activision. Congratulations. But I'm still mad at them for some, and specifically over something that happened this week that one of their subsidiaries did that I'll talk a little more about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight. So, whereas Bobby has forgiven, I will not forget.
Now, see, I didn't permanently forgive. I just forgave until I play the game on July 10th, and then, you know, when I beat the game and say that's great, then I'll go back to hating Activision.
Well, it's basically this act is kind of like them putting a drop of fresh water in a bucket of piss. Thank you, but...
What a lovely description, and an eloquent and classy as always, Tagmaster Loki.
I can tell you're not getting the interview with Silver Lining Guys this time around after all that.
No,
no,
well,
nothing against them.
No, nothing
they're
against
fine.
Them at all.
I'm just saying that Activision's pure evil.
Are
that's
you,
all, yeah.
Are you kidding? They would probably agree, although they can't go on record. Allegedly. I think it's great. How can you possibly complain about a free game that, you know, this thing could play like poo and it's still free? I mean, it's very difficult to complain about a free game. And before the chat room yells, yes, I understand, Yaris, Yaris, Yaris. But that was all a corporate sponsorship thing. And that was, you know, I just, even in playing the demo of the Silver Lining years ago, when, you know, they were first, you know, first kind of had some stuff that they were ready to release to the public. I think this is before they got shut down the first time by Vivendi.
Mm-hmm.
They had their demo up and ready to go. It was nice. It was definitely a throwback to the old King's Quest games, which I too enjoyed. I know you were a big fan of some of the other Sierra brands, mm-hmm. But I Quest 5 on CD-ROM, and you know I was a huge fan of the Rosella game, which was 4, and the whole Fairy Tales getting involved with that. That was one of the most well-known, I think, King's Quest games. So I was, you know, but like most people, I kind of stopped caring about the series when I got to be about 7, 8. But I'm happy to see the throwback with 9. Whether it is in name or not, we all know the inspiration.
And I mean, come on, King's Quest taught me the first King's Quest specifically taught me a very important lesson on something that I would always need forever in life. I learned how to spell Rumpelstiltskin backwards.
Can you still do it today? 1, 2, 3, go.
Screw you.
You died.
The troll killed me. Damn it.
No, it's all good. It's you know, Sierra had so many good games. There were some other kind of random Sierra games that I really used to like too that weren't just the adventure games. Like, I don't mm-hmm. know if you remember this one. I don't even know if like, but you said earlier in the game you're a board game nut.
Oh, yeah, let me guess. Are you going to bring up Jones in the Fast Lane?
Oh my God, I was.
I love that game.
It's amazing. Oh my God, Bobby.
Wish
we
it was online.
Same games. This is hilarious.
Yeah, that was my favorite. I loved that theme song, too.
Yes. I could probably still do it when they're all, you know, going around.
Right.
And at some point, you might, like, literally lose the shirt off your back. And your character's running around just in their unders. So it's fun.
That's what we need, Activision. We need Jones in the Fast Lane on Xbox Live Arcade.
I would die. I would literally, like, if they want to shut up their biggest critic, one of their biggest critics, I'm probably not their biggest critic, because I will say nice things about old Activision and
Blur
that was on Game Room this week, but I digress. If they really want to shut me up, they will put out Jones in the Fast Lane 2 because I will die. And then it will... That's it.
Wouldn't it be interesting if they remade H-E-R-O?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, like most games on Game Room, they were better when we were a kid. But I still think H-E-R-O has some sense of playability. But I just don't – I think there's a lot of people like – I think if there's people out there who didn't play it on the 2600 years ago, they're going to play it and go, this is stupid, and then not like really care. And that's kind of the unfortunate thing about a lot of the games in Game Room is that a lot of the games sadly have not
aged
well.
We've been spoiled.
Well, we have a little bit. And it's a bummer because Kaboom is coming out next week, and that really was one of my all-time favorite 2600 games. And I'm sad because it's just – I know it is not going to be worth a darn without the paddle controller.
Yeah.
Like, why bother?
Like Circus Atari.
Oh, my gosh. That was terrible. Like, I played the demo for – it was awful.
I'm so surprised someone hasn't come out with, like, special controllers to use with the 360 for these games. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to, you know, wire up, say, a spinner to the analog controls. It's not that different.
Because Microsoft doesn't care about Game Room. True statement. Mm-hmm. Who had Game Room at their booth at E3?
Konami.
Was it Microsoft? No, it was Konami.
Well, they actually, in Circus Atari, they did kind of do the paddle type thing. One of the ways you could do it is if you use the analog stick, it acted like a paddle if you went counterclockwise or clockwise across the top.
Oh, that's interesting. I actually didn't know about that mode, but that would be kind of awkward to me, I think.
It was very awkward.
Yeah, I don't... All that analog controller needs to do is, like, actually turn. Like, you can click it, but there should be a way you could kind of turn it. Like, it could be a little dial, too. But, you know, how many games honestly need it? I'm like, you know, we just said Microsoft doesn't care about game rooms, so what other game would get use out of a paddle? I can't think of many.
Yeah, but all it takes, you know, Mad Cats or, you know, something like that. Remember how they made that stupid joystick for Xbox Live Arcade games that looked sort of like an Atari 2600 joystick, except it stunk?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if one of those companies does that? Because there's a lot of people out there that'll make really quirky, you know, accessories for very limited amounts of games. But if there's a demand for it, they will make it.
Yeah.
I just don't know if the game room populace is enough demand, unfortunately. But,
Jones in the fast lane to game room.
Yes, please.
There we go. So what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
I would like, real quick, sorry, yeah. I know we have to wrap up, but I actually really would. And I predicted a while back on the show that this is one way that game room would be able to hit their quota of a thousand downloadable games. Going to the home computing market from the 80s and some of the Commodore 64 classics and even Apple IIe, like Oregon Trail and Game Room, I think so. But anyway...
As soon as Kickstart for the Commodore 64 appears on there, I'll be all over that stuff.
Oh, man, I could use some Commodore 64 classics, summer games. Actually, a lot of these are on Wii. But anyway, tonight's show, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the news that came out this week. Looks like 3DS, it is happening in 2011, so those of you guys who are excited about it this year, a little bit sad, but it's very interesting how this news came about. Maybe it was slipped, I don't know. We're going to get into that a little bit. If you don't believe by now the Kinect is going to be $150, I don't know what else to tell you. There's some other stuff about that this week. Other kind of interesting things, topics we're going to get into tonight. Final Fantasy 14, rumored time and again for 360, but they've come out this week basically saying that Xbox Live is basically preventing them from releasing the game on it. And this was kind of a follow-up to some things we've heard in weeks before, but there was a new interview this week that shed some light on it, which is very interesting when you consider that Final Fantasy XI was on Xbox Live.
Yes, this just in. We forgot that Final Fantasy XI was on Xbox
360
Live.
Has apparently become the MMO killer because, well, not really, but for its own stuff. Microsoft doesn't care about MMOs, but, you know, go back a few months ago, Champions Online really should have been on the 360, but couldn't.
Well, to be fair, there's not really any MMOs on the PlayStation Network either.
Yet. Yeah, you've got two coming out this year.
Yeah, but at the pace that Sony Online Entertainment's going, it could be forever.
I don't know. If one of those two games really takes off, it's going to be very interesting, the position that Xbox is going to be put in. Also, are Facebook games finally a thing of the past already?
Yes. Although
I don't know, because I went to 7-Eleven last night, and oh my gosh, I was blown away by just how much Zynga.
Damn.
There was everywhere. It's kind of depressing. Like, they might as well just call the store 7 Zynga or something. It's just 7-Eleven Zynga. I don't know.
Farm 11.
I got it. Farm 11. There you go.
7-Elevenville.
7-Elevenville. Coming soon to Facebook.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Once again, happy belated birthday, Rob.
Thank you so much, and have a great week, Bobby Blackwell. We won't be here next week. I don't know if you are, but we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
I don't know if I'm here next week either. We haven't decided if we're doing 4th of July or not.
Well, happy 4th to all of your listeners in the U.S. and to your listeners abroad. Happy Sunday off.
All right.
All right.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
There goes the buzzsaw. It's over. So, yeah, that's it. That's all we're going to do this week. I stay tuned to my Twitter, Bobby Blackwolf, and I will let you know if there is going to be a show. Also in chat.allgames.com, I'll let you know if there's going to be a show or not. Because it is the 4th of July, which is a major holiday here in America. It's basically where we celebrate the birth of our nation by blowing a piece of it up. And that's what we do on the 4th of July here. And I think I'll probably be out blowing a piece of this nation up and making it go explodey. So Stay tuned. There will be a Friday Night Gaming, which I want to read this comment because this comment came in right as we were starting to take the call. Amaze Satsuma says, Bobby doesn't understand the appeal of people watching people play games, yet is the host of Friday Night Gaming. Can you say irony? I can say irony, but see, here's the difference. The games that we show and the gamers that we show on Friday Night Gaming, they're bad at the game. They make you feel better. There you go. So that's the difference. Friday Night Gaming, we're going to be playing Naughty Bear, if we can get our hands on it, on the Xbox 360. It's coming out this week. It's basically Postal meets Teddy Bears. It should be quite interesting. So that's going to be going on this Sunday, this Friday night, here on the All Games Network, fnglive.net, and at allgames.com. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And then Sunday night, if there is a show next week, it will be at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. If not, it will be the following week, July 11th, which is the day after Silver Lining comes out. So there you go. I'm happy with Activision tonight, even if Rob's not. So feel free to email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, or join our All Games community anytime during the week over at allgames.com, chat.allgames.com, all that stuff. And there you go. But we could not make the live show work without the help of the chatter, so I want to thank Billy OK, DC Nate, GK128, The Rob D, Binary667, who I hate because he beat me in Risk Factions very badly today. Burr, D5T, The Blue Guy, Doomplague, Eswat, Havoc978, Hecht, Kitsune, Octocamo, Stone Raider, Sully907, THK, Tigerclaw, Toshin, Aki Ripper, Alpha Cananagram, Amaze Satsuma, Ashfox, Bacon Bits, Buchigawa, Crispy, Cedabria, Daria, DC Nate again. There he is with his other computer. Deadman Wade, Decipher, DJ Dark Knight, D Man, Firecube, Funny T Man, Game Guru, Hey Jude, Hitstun, Jim Sally, Cousin, Lord Cypher, Matt Cube, Melted General, MXT, Necromoss, No Weeds Fan, Nutman, Part Machine, Prowler 35, Ranma, Ruben, Spyro, Subzi, T27 Duck, Tedekin, The Outcasted, TM95, Toagak, True, Warham, What Up G, Wide Angle, Zappy, and Zeba. So there you go. That's it. There is going to be no vuvuzelas for the end. I've just got to make sure that they're not... Okay, there's no vuvuzelas or anything like that. I promise. And so that's it. We're done. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.
Haha, I lied.